Hello and welcome back to Panels Full of Hunks. I'm Chris.
And I am very excited to talk about more Supernatural comics. This episode, we're covering issue 5 of the 2025 Supernatural comic book from Greg Pak. I am still loving this series. I'm still having a ton of fun with this. It's all ridiculous. It's all really ridiculous, in fact. Is it the most compelling Supernatural storyline of all time? Of course not, but I just have fun when I read it. They're just really quick, light reads, and it's just an excuse to talk about Sam Dean again. And I've said it time and time again that I think that they just really capture the essence of Sam and Dean and the essence of Supernatural, even though what we're doing in these comics is often just way over the top. I mean, they even make a joke in this issue about jumping the shark. Like, stuff is just out of control. But I have so much fun when I read these issues. And at this point, I'm actually a little bit invested in this version of the world. Now that I've read 5 issues, I keep coming back for more. I keep wanting more. And to my absolute delight, it turns out that this is not the end. I think for a while now, I've been under the impression that there was only going to be 5 issues for this. I don't know why. Maybe at the time that I started, there was only 5, or I don't know. For whatever reason, I thought that was it. But issue 6 is coming out soon at the time of this recording, so I'm excited to be able to continue this journey. But I came into this issue kind of thinking like, well, I guess this is how we're going to wrap everything up. If that had been the case, maybe I would have been a little disappointed, but it's not the case. So in hindsight, everything is even better. And let me just start once again by saying how sick the cover art for this is. Even if I didn't know what Supernatural is, I would probably be drawn to this on the comic book stand because it's a picture of the boys in the car. Again, I don't think it's the Impala, and I actually think that there's like possibly more of a reason why it's specifically not the Impala other than just like licensing issues. I don't know if that would be a thing, but it's the boys fighting in the Impala. I think it has Sam like hanging out the window with that curved knife that we only ever see him in season 1 promo stuff have but never actually use. He's hanging out the window. They're driving the car. There's ghost cowboys chasing them on these mounted. They look like jackalopes, like bunnies with antlers, except huge. Ghost cowboys riding jackalopes, chasing down the boys. Like, it's just over the top and ridiculous, but I just love it. The show didn't ever get to do this kind of absurd monster stuff, and I'm glad that they're just fully leaning into it with this, even though the storylines themselves are still like pretty grounded as far as, you know, Supernatural goes. I'm loving this cover art. Clayton Crane did this one again, crushed it, killed it, loving it. So, okay, we pick up back right where we left off in that haunted library in New Mexico. The boys had been kind of led there by their haunted car. That is not the Apollo. They were led there by their haunted car to try to figure out what the hell is going on. These ghosts are being trapped in the library. Very much a case of didn't save the people, didn't hunt the thing, because by the time they leave here, like, the place is just on fire and they have not actually saved anybody. But we left off with Sam discovering Mrs. Matsumoto, the librarian, the ghostly librarian who's trapping everybody there. He found her like special collection of books and was a little bit surprised to find them swirling with magical energy all around him. Like, as much as he did identify that they were there, him and Dean both find themselves very confused by what's happening here. And we start off with just like picking up exactly where we left off with those books swirling around Sam. And it looks very cool, but when you realize that he has no idea what's going on, it's just like, oh shit, okay, wait, what is this? The librarian, Mrs. Matsumoto, continues to try to tempt Sam back to have him come and sit with the illusion of Jess, but he resists, saying that he knows Jess isn't here because she was murdered by a demon and they're going to figure out how to kill that demon. That's why he came here. Like, that reason specifically, it being Jess trying to tempt him, is actually just fueling his fire more. It's not turning him away from his mission here. To their surprise, these boys are looking through, as if we don't know who they are, these boys, these young gentlemen, Sam and Dean Winchester, they are looking through one of these books when Sam sees a picture of what looks like himself from hundreds of years ago. This is a very old book. There's a picture of him. There's like a symbol of a comet on it. And they want to consult good old dad's diary about that symbol. Don't you get it twisted. It does not matter that we have, this is a different podcast format. I'm not calling it Dad's Journal. This is still Dad's Diary. And they see a symbol on the page that they want to identify in Dad's Diary. But just then, who shows up? Motherfucking Steph Wendler. This is the woman from issue one. We've mentioned her a few times throughout. She's the one who made the little, the demon deal sort of with that imp and trapped it in the bottle. She shows up. She's got some goons with her and they start zapping the boys. I don't know what they got, like some stun gun situation going on here. The images, the panels are filled with like blue electric light. So that's why I assume that's what's happening. Also, the little sound effects that say zap also seem to contribute to that theory. Yeah, she zaps the boys. She sends her goons to go and pick up those books. She's trying to raid this entire library for these like forbidden spell books. But Mrs. Matsumoto, she uses her power to kind of pull the books away. I don't know if what she does with them exactly, but she gets them out of reach of Steph. And she tries to use those same tricks that she used on Sam that she's used on others to trap them here. She tries to use them on Steph to trap her here. And Steph Wendler is immediately like, no. I didn't become a CEO by being a fool. I became a CEO by stepping on the backs of everyone beneath me. But she immediately is like, no, that's not going to work on me. Pulls out, I guess, a flare, and she threatens to burn down the place. And right then, like, this is enough downtime for the boys. They've recovered from being electrocuted. They spring into action. They knock the flare out of her hand, and they go to, like, put the fire out, but unfortunately, things get out of control pretty quickly, and before you know it, the library is set ablaze. And this was all a bluff from Steph to begin with. She's like, she needs these books. So she's like, oh, motherfucker, why did you just do that? You just burned the goddamn library down. The whole place is on fire. And as they're trying to, like, pick up and escape, like, Dean's, like, picking Sam up off the floor, trying to get him out of here, as flames are engulfing the entire place, the image of Jess is still there, tempting Sam back. And I love the colors used in this panel. We get this, like, this cold blue tone that they've used for the library, and it slowly, as you go down the page, gets consumed by, like, these, you know, blazing orange colors of the fire as it takes over the library. And I just thought that was a really cool, you know, little color touch. Really brings you into the moment. They managed to escape the library, and it wasn't Jess that was making Sam linger. It was actually because he dropped Dad's diary. And unfortunately, like, he wants to run back in and get it. Like, there's so much. There's a treasure trove of information. And unfortunately, they realize Steph Wendler got her hands on it. She hops in her car and drives off. So they got to hop into their ghost car and pursue her. And yeah, unfortunately, their car, or fortunately, their car is still possessed. And it's staying right on her trail as they get in. They speed after her. The car is indeed staying on her trail. But Dean is like, this thing could still be leading us into a trap. He's still not willing to come around on this car. He does not trust this thing. And fair enough. I mean, you can't really trust a ghost car. And just as he's saying this might be a trap, as a matter of fact, a bunch of ghost cowboys appear, just like the what I was describing on the cover. There's how else do you even describe? They're ghost cowboys, or like skeletal cowboys, ghoul cowboys, whatever the monster they are. They're cowboys. They've got revolvers. They got cowboy hats. They got dusters. And this is sick as fuck. Let's just be real with ourselves. This is incredibly dope. This is super cool. And this is where Sam and Dean are like, okay, we're jumping the shark. This is ridiculous. And yeah, it is ridiculous. If they did this on the CW, it would probably look bad. But we're in a comic book, and I want to see comic book stuff. And this is comic book stuff, and I'm loving it. And yeah, anyway, they're in hot pursuit of the boys. And it was here that I started to think, you know, this whole time, this is not the Impala, as Dean has identified. And I started thinking, like, oh, well, they couldn't, you know, use the branding of the Chevy Impala or whatever. But I don't think that's it at all. This is in season two, or between, you know, season one and season two. That's where it says this was set. We don't have a firm timeline. Again, it couldn't literally take place between season one and season two, last episode of season one, first episode of season two. That's not possible because they were all in the hospital. They got hit by a truck. But it's a vague timeline. It happened somewhere around those points. The details of everything outside of what happens in the issues is vague enough that you can place it in, you know, in either season and it would fit in just fine. But I was just thinking, like, oh, well, for half of season two, they don't have the Impala because it's all smashed up. And then I think Dean has like a rage moment where he beats the shit out of the car. And I can't remember which episode if it's the halfway point, if it's four episodes into season two, I can't remember when they get the Impala back. So that just made me think, oh, well, maybe that's why they chose not to have it be the Impala, so that for whatever reason, like, it could still slot into a different timeline somewhere. In case, you know, maybe they do want to connect it to a more firm timeline down the road, and they don't want to have this, like, lingering, like, plot hole of, well, they couldn't have had the Impala, you know. Especially if this is going to end up being a longer running series, longer than five issues, certainly. They might want to connect it later. They might want to bring in, you know, Joe or characters like that from season two to make things more integral, I guess, or to thread things in to the actual show a little bit more as time goes on. So they don't want to have those inconsistencies. I'm yapping a lot about stuff that's not in the comics, so let's keep going. The car comes to a sudden stop as they are being pursued by these ghoulish cowboys, and they stop in front of what looks like a tunnel, and the car basically just kicks them out. And to the surprise of the boys, it seems like the car is actually trying to protect them. It's preventing, at least momentarily, the cowboys from advancing on them. But unfortunately, these ghoulish cowboys eventually do catch up to the boys, and they take them in at gunpoint, and they lead them to a nearby ghost town, and then to, like, an abandoned courthouse within that ghost town. Shit is escalating fast. Steph Windler is there, and she has used some sort of magic. I don't know if it's from one of the books she found or whatever. She's used some sort of magic to bring court into session, and she wants to put the boys on trial in ghost court for meddling with forbidden knowledge. And Dean points out that they actually try to keep that knowledge forbidden. They try to actually do the opposite of meddle. They're meddling with these things. They are trying to make it so that nobody knows about this forbidden knowledge, that it stays forbidden. But that's not exactly enough to get them off the hook here. Steph reveals that she doesn't actually just want to kill the boys, because she could have just, like, shot them at any point. She wants to curse them. More specifically, she wants to pass her own curse onto them. The curse from issue one, where she kind of tricked them into helping her capture this imp, and you get, like, what, earthly rewards, but then your soul is condemned to hell. Same as a demon deal, really. Except I think it doesn't have a time limit. But, yeah, she's trying to get the... trying to pass the buck. She's trying to pass the curse onto these boys as punishment for, you know, their perceived crimes. The judge, this ghost judge, is supposed to make some sort of a mystical sense of all this. We just got to roll with it. And as we're going to find out, this person is called Judge Johnny Massoni. And this is Judge Johnny Massoni's hanging house, where 150 years ago, people would basically pay their way through the law, making villains and or victims out of whoever they wanted as long as they could afford it. So just like real life, just like the modern day law system, court system, as long as you could pay your way through it. So all of these ghouls and ghosts that we're seeing around, these guys that were riding on, you know, ghostly horseback or whatever, all of these people are, I don't know, condemned or trapped here because of their actions at this court during their lives. They did wicked deeds and now they are stuck here for it. It isn't really spelled out like that, but that's how I interpreted it. But it's basically like, it doesn't really matter. Sam and Dean are guilty of anything because they can just, you know, Steph Windler is the CEO of a company. She can just pay her way through and you know, have no consequences. So as payment, not even just like directly giving them money, Steph says that, hey, all these ghosts, all these ghouls present, they were damned by the actions of the court. And whether they were punished by the court or whether they were damned in the afterlife for their actions at the court. But she is offering to use her considerable wealth to rewrite their histories, to change historical records, to make all these guys out to be heroes so that they can rest easy. And that seems like a pretty good idea. Maybe these ghouls will be able to, you know, vanish and get some rest finally. So the judge is like, all right, that sounds cool. That sounds cool. He's very modern. He sounds just like me. It's actually totally weird. That's totally cool. That's very, very sick. Very dope. What do you boys have to say? What's your counter offer to this? And of course, the boys don't have a good counter offer. Dean is like, I got like $2,000 that I won from the casino, but that's about it. And okay, that's it. Well, you can't offer more of a reward for them for this ghostly court. So okay, Sam and Dean, you're guilty as charged. And your punishment is imminent. This is happening right now. And there's no time to really even digest what is happening. You just got to deal with it. Punishment is happening now. And Dean is basically trying to say his last goodbyes to Sam just in case, you know, he just wants to have that one last brother moment of, you know, telling him he cares about him, he's proud of him, all that kind of stuff. But old Sam, law student Sam, interrupts. He's got a rebuttal for the judge here, because during the spell that's being, this punishment that's being laid out before them, Sam and Dean are described as saints in the wording of this spell. But they argue that they are anything but that. And Sam starts listing off like a laundry list of crimes they've committed in just this comic book alone, like this series so far, not even counting all of the things that they've done in the show itself. And that gives the judge pause for like half a second, but then he just laughs at the boys because he's like, you've never done anything really bad, nothing really serious, like take an innocent life or like feast on human flesh or betray a brother. And as soon as he says that, without hesitations, I guess the boys were just carrying guns through this, or they're pulling guns from the ghosts around them. Maybe that's what it was. That would make a little bit more sense, because these boys instantly draw revolvers, and without wasting a second, they both shoot each other. Sam and Dean were just like ready for this somehow. Like this is a double brother bluff in some way or another. They didn't even have to use words. They both just thought, oh, betray your brother, grab a gun and shoot him. They both do it at the exact same time, shooting each other in the leg and the arm, so they're non-fatal shots. But it was this act was so ridiculous that it was enough to break the ritual, because they betrayed their, you know, the brotherly bond or whatever. So that instantly breaks the spell. And all we see is Steph cursing them. The court is like, well, fuck, like we can't go through with this spell because that could cause some serious issues with whatever demon we're fucking around with here, whatever's behind this spell. And Steph starts cursing them. I mean, not literally, because if she was cursing them, she'd probably be better off. Then she'd get the imp off of her back. But it looks like a portal to hell opens up and drags her in. I don't really know what's going on, but it sounds like the curse came for her after all. Although, maybe not. Because as the boys limp away from this ghost town, they're noting how the system is rigged against them. Heaven, hell, there's really no way that they can win in the long run. But today, they did win. Today, this was a small victory. This victory might only last for today. In the grand scheme of things, the cards are still stacked against them. But for today, they're victorious. And although it looked like Steph was maybe dragged away to hell, I don't know, she was seemingly still in possession of Dad's diary. So the boys now have to figure out how to get that back. And it looks like that's going to be our mission for next issue. And it was at that moment that I realized, oh, hell yeah, like there's going to actually be more issues of this comic book. So I'm looking forward to that. If I've now caught up to release order, then the release of these podcasts might have to slow down a little bit, literally just to wait. I assume it's going to be one issue a month at this point. And if I'm caught up in March, that's not great. So if issue 6 comes out soon, then I will record that just basically when it's available. And then I'll just have to keep an eye out for issue 7 when that comes out, presumably next month. And we'll see how long this goes on for. But I'm having a great time with these comics, and it's really making me miss Supernatural. It makes me kind of want to do a rewatch, but I don't know if I'm quite ready for that yet. But thank you for listening. If you're reading the comics, let me know. I'm curious to see what other people think. Just because I'm having a good time does not mean that everybody else is going to have a good time. So I'm very curious to hear some other opinions on these. But until next time, thank you for listening, everybody. Goodbye.